Laurie Daly, he's in Canberra today, and he's got one of his old mates with him. G'day, Loz.
Morning, Mido. Morning, Clarky. Yeah, lucky enough to be here at Raiders headquarters with Canberra Raiders coach. Great mate of the program, great mate of mine, Ricky Stewart. And it's a great day for Canberra. It's sad and it's great in the one sentence, because we get to celebrate the wonderful life and achievement of Don Ferner, who was the inaugural coach of the Canberra Raiders. He was a big reason a number of players played for the club, a massive influence, and a man that had a massive influence over his football career, and he was very good friends with the Ferner family, is the current Raiders coach, Ricky Stewart, and he joins us now. Morning, mate.
Morning, Loz. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks, mate. It is a good day and a sad day as well, because Don Ferner, you had a great relationship with Don. He built the club along with John and Les McIntyre, and we get to sort of farewell him today and celebrate the wonderful life and career of Don Ferner.
Yeah, absolutely, Loz. It's a, I agree with you. It is a celebration of Don's life, and he's been very ill for a number of years, and I know the care that the family have had around Don, old Don, that is, and it's been, it's been difficult on them as well, but... Nobody ever likes to see their friends, let alone their father, in that situation in time of illness. But today is a day where, it's great that you've got the opportunity to be here today to do your bit of the show and also attend the funeral. Because I know he recruited you from Junee and had a wonderful relationship with the Wines and your mother and father. He touched a lot of people's lives, and to... that'll be celebrated today at St. Christopher's at Manuka.
And you and I are both friends with David and Don Jr. And Don was a big part of the reason why I came to the club. And you had a special relationship with Don, being from Queanbeyan. You were from Queanbeyan yourself. Can you tell us a little bit about your relationship with him?
Yeah, I spent a lot of time at the Ferner household. I went to school from year seven with Donnie, and we became best mates. And we, as a group of three of us from St. Edmunds, that we're still best friends and still hang around each other and have a beer with each other. And, we're in brothers, in bridal parties, and, we're still great mates. And I'm just in a position now where he's my boss. So I've got to listen a little bit more intently. Don's had, old Don, that is, has had a great influence on my career. I remember... finishing year 12 at St. Edmunds College and going in and having a meeting with John McIntyre with my father, and John offered us a deal to come and play for the Raiders, and that was in 1984. And then we went into the office and spoke to Don Senior and sat down and told him there was an opportunity to repeat year 12 and try and make the European schoolboy tour. And he said, look, mate, he said, go back to school, do everything you possibly you can do or you need to do in rugby union, and then come back and talk to us. And That was probably the greatest influence I had in my life as a young footballer, and that was old Don. And he was a great man manager. He was a man who cared about the club, but he cared about the individual. And I think you'll see by the number of people back today. I know Glenn Lazarus has been ringing and talking to me about his funeral. I know Craig Bellamy and Adam O'Brien from Newcastle was coming down to obviously support David. A lot of people will be in attendance today at the funeral, and pay their respect.
And he was a big reason why the Raiders had success, Don. He started out and the club struggled early, but then he was able to recruit, along with John McIntyre, recruit a guy like Mal Meninga, and that just changed the way that the Raiders were looked at.
It did. I remember in 1982 doing some pre-season training with the under-16s, with the Opens, with the senior players, and I remember them, old Don having them there on the side hill at Taylor Park, and he had them, all the new players introduced themselves. And there were so many players that I'd been watching in the Australian Rugby League competition from Sydney. He recruited the Gary Spears, Lloyd Martins, Percy Knights, David Grant. So many legends from Sydney who were probably just a little bit on the outer or finishing their career. He got these people, these experienced rugby league players down to play for the Raiders in their first year, and created a really good, solid structure. And for any new club to be able to make a grand final 5 years in the making, you're doing something right. I mean, 1987, they made the grand final, as you were here at the club at that stage and would know more about that than me. But 1989, we go on to win it. That all comes off the back of the foundation that was built early in those days.
Yeah. And what about you as a young bloke? I'm sure you would have been at Seaford Oval. You would have been running onto the field after the game. You would have been out the back trying to get into the dressing shed, listening to the coach have a spiel to his players, all that type of stuff.
Well, as I remember, I was ball boy for the Creamy Blues with Donnie. David was a little bit younger than us at that stage, but I was ball boy and John Ballasy was the captain. You know, Don brought John Ballasy down to captain the Queen Blues from the Roosters. And John will be speaking today on behalf of, I think, everybody to pay respects to Don. But then the Raiders come into town in 1982. And I still remember being one of those guys out the back of the change rooms waiting for them all to come out after the game and getting signatures. But more for me, it was the footy feel.
Yeah.
Just watching these senior Australian Rugby League players walk out of the change room carrying their kit bag, and that for me was the best part of the day outside watching the first graders run around.
Yeah. Fast forward today, the Raiders had plenty of success there in the late 80s, early 90s. Then we had a lean period, but last year to make the grand final. Terrific effort. I know you're disappointed that you didn't win it, but I think from a spectator point of view, it was fantastic to watch the way Canberra went about it. A lot of expectation this year. I think the squad has been developing over a period of time now. And why do you think you can take that next step this season?
A lot rolls into it now, Loz, where last year's gone, albeit we're very proud of how we've grown. I am proud of how the players handled the probably the last 2 months of football leading into that last game. I believe we got a lot of experience out of that. But also, luck plays a massive role. It's over that last 2 month period, I had 22 of my best players available to be picked. I didn't have any real injury concerns. I didn't have any Josh Papali's out or Jack Whiten's out. I had a stroke of luck in regards to having my best players available and fit, and that was that's a real big bonus coming into the back end of the season. Why can we take the next step? Well, we're like every other football team. You think positively. You have your you be optimistic. But we're not blinded by the hard work that has to be done.
Yeah,
they've worked very hard over the last 7 or 8 weeks, post Christmas. But every other club has too. There's no higher expectation on this football team than what I put on them and what I put on myself, and what we put on ourselves as a group.
Yeah. Some of the challenges you'll face, obviously no Bateman early in the season. How's his shoulder? When's he expected to be back?
I think it's probably round 6 to round 8, conservatively. And he's a massive loss because he's factually it shows that he's a big part of our, big contribution towards a lot of our successes. But, we can't hinge it on one player. We have to make sure we have players who can fill the talent. And I think we've got quite a bit of depth in positions, and that's really important. So, look, it's all back on again, but as I say, we as one group will not look back to last year and think, oh, well, we deserve a right to play in the semi-finals. We know there's a lot of hard work to do and a lot of hard work to get back to the semis. And as you would know yourself, Loz, it's a lot harder getting to a grand final than winning it. Winning it's not the hardest part of it.
Three, you're starting seven out of that grand final. Your outside backs have moved on. Aiden Caesar, Leilua, and also Rapana. George Williams from England gets an opportunity. And Curtis Scott from Melbourne, who received some good news yesterday. He's available for round one, which is very important. But can you tell us about George Williams and tell us about how Curtis Scott has fitted in and the news that you've received yesterday?
Yeah, I don't think we've lost talent, Loz. I think we've lost cohesion and combination. Losing Geordie Rapana is a big loss.
Yep.
He has a big effect on this football team, off the field as much as on. He's a massive loss. But, George Williams is... I think you'd be excited by George Lozzie. He's a similar player, style of player to yourself, where he loves running the football, loves taking the line on. He's got a wonderful kicking game. And, typical Pommy, one of the Pommies that we have here, he gets into training, hooks in, he works hard. He's a good lad off the field. I'm very fortunate, Loz. I said it last year, this is the closest group of players I've ever coached. And I don't say that lightly. I'm very proud to be able to say that because they really are. They're great mates. And you know yourself that when you're playing with your mates, you do that little bit extra.
Yeah.
when you got one another's back, it's a comfortable ride when you cross that sideline. Georgie Williams has fitted straight in, and the way the players have gone around Curtis Scott, I said in a news item the other day, with Michelle Kieran, that football players don't support mugs. Footy players don't get around a bloke who's a dickhead.
Yep.
And all these blokes have got around Curtis Scott, and they've really supported him through this tough time. That's a big plus for me, because he's got talent. He's just got to mould into the way we want to play now.
Yep.
The other day in our trial match, there was a couple of errors because he tried too hard. But he's an aggressive, tough kid who will really fit the style and the Raiders culture here.
Few new rule changes this year, one with the scrum and the captain's challenge. Have you thought much about the captain's challenge and how that may be used throughout the season?
Oh, not really, mate, to be honest. You never know if these rules are going to be in or out.
Yep.
But now they are. That's set in concrete, they are in, and I have spoken to the captains about it. The responsibility will come down to probably more Josh than Jared, because Josh is right on the button there with where the referee is going to be placed and interpreted at the ruck with the decisions. So it'll be more come down to Josh, and it'll be trial and error in regards to how much a coach's influence will have, but there's certainly going to be signals from a sideline or a box that Josh will look at. And or if he doesn't get a clear picture, we'll look at and get a little bit of communication from the outside. But they'll get a, you know, I like to give my players the opportunity to read the game and to get the feel for it. And if he feels something that has to be challenged, well, you know, he's got that responsibility. But I don't think it'll change the game up too much. It'll bring the crowd into it, which I think is really important from a spectacle. The scrums, interesting how we can take it from the 10, 20 and or black, or the 50, the middle of the footy field now. So, again, I think it brings the crowd into the game, and I think that's what the rule changes are there for, to bring people into the game a bit more as a spectacle, and it certainly will do that. You'll see a lot more, I think, a lot more scrums from the middle of the footy field now.
Talking about crowds, Canberra are very passionate, and you know, one of the great initiatives that they've been able to do has been the Viking Clap. Now, you know, I don't know whether you get to see the Viking Clap or not. You're probably making your way to the seat in the stand or to the
Are
seat
you
on
the horn
on the
Wagga?
Putting me on the spot.
Yes. I've been asked to. So that's good, mate. You'll be able to see it.
Yeah, that'll be good. I'll be able to use it. They asked me yesterday. I said I'd get back to them.
Benny Pollock texted me last night.
Thanks, Benny. Looks like I'm doing it then. Looks like I'm doing
it. Hometown.
But how good's that been for the community and for the club and passionate supporters down here? Very passionate, the Raiders.
So are you blowing it? You can stop me, you know.
I know. My nose is getting bigger here. I won't tell a lie.
Too much bigger.
You know what he used to do this week? You'd be sitting there, and Clarky, I want to bring you into it.
Like, I don't want to know.
No, well, we'd be sitting there having a cup of coffee or a cup of tea, and Ricky would ask for the hottest cup of tea, you know, and they'd pour the hot water in, he'd get the tea bag, and then he'd take the tea bag out, and then he'd put a sugar in, and he'd stir it. And then as he'd stir it, he'd take it out of his cup, and then he'd just put it on your arm, and you weren't looking, and it'd burn you. You'd be jumping there. You'd have this red spot on your arm, or he'd put it on your neck. He'd burn your neck.
I remember somebody doing it who had to always go one further. If I took two Panadol because I had a headache, Laurie'd have to take six. But I remember Laurie going one further and getting a spoon and sitting on the top of a candle, lit candle, and then sat it on Jason Croker's neck.
Remember that? Oh, my God.
Pulled the 3 yards of skin off his neck. But
his other good go, Ricky, was we came back from Sydney and he wanted a steak one night. So we drove all around Canberra looking for a steak.
We drove all around Canberra. He wanted some seafood. We went to Belconnen trying to find an open joint. No, nothing in Belconnen. So Nut jumped in the cab, went back over to Mawson to the Parker restaurant, walked in, and Laurie's gone, beautiful big platters there. And I said, I'll have a bit of seafood chowder and I might have a few prawns or whatnot, and Laurie's gone and said, oh, that looks good. I might have a nice steak. But to answer your question, Loz, it is really, it's our home ground record hasn't been great down here. I think it was about 50% last year. I think everybody sees it as an event too. You know, we found it difficult making our home ground a fortress down here because I think players, teams come to... It's like anything. When you go away and you're playing at playing an event in at a big stadium, you know, we travel well. But we've got to get our home ground statistics better than what they have been over the last couple of years. But I think, you know, the Viking clap, the passion of our supporters is evident, and it creates a great event here at GIO. And unfortunately, the other teams coming down enjoyed it coming down as well, I think.
Ricky, I've always loved the way you played, and obviously as a coach, I just get the feeling that a lot of people don't understand what goes into the planning as a leader or as a coach. And I'll never forget when you went back to the Raiders, the criticism you copped through the media about performance. Yet how do you as a coach keep that very clear vision to follow the process through to know that in a year, in 2 years, in 3 years, those results are going to come? How much faith do you have to put in yourself to hang strong through that tough period?
Well, I think you just answered it, Clarkie, that you've got to have belief in what vision you're creating. And I remember constantly saying here in press conferences, constantly saying in interviews that, look, I know you don't want to hear this, but you have to be patient. Mm. And I first of all, was very fortunate. I had a board here who wanted to create stability in my position. And as long as they could see that there was improvement and they could see that there was something growing and developing here, they gave me that extension to go out and have another year or two of coaching. And it gave me the chance to keep building and building and building a roster. But you must have faith and belief in the vision that you're creating. And then I've got to go out and sell the story. And then I've got to have the players that are believing in it. And the club is the biggest thing here, Clarkie. It's not about the coach or it's not about the player. So I've created a group of players who actually play for the guys who were before us and play for the jumper and the club. You know, we play for all the people who are our staff. We play for our fans. It's a good vibe here in regards to being a community club, but deep down, we're here about the jumper and about what we can do for ourselves as well. And you have to have that belief and that drive because, mate, there's some mornings you wake up and you know when you're copping the criticism. You only got to walk around the cafes or the street here to know the glares and the looks you get to understand the feeling of the community. But you just had to have that drive and energy to just keep on believing in what we're pushing and empowering.
One of the things that I found amazing last year, and I've been lucky enough since I've retired to be into dressing sheds. You know, I was involved with the Origin team. So I've been in and around sheds. A lot of players, when they finish their football careers, miss that. They miss not being able to go inside a dressing shed again. We had our old boys day against the West Tigers last year, and all the old boys were back. And after the game, speaking to them, one of the most special things they've done in their footy career was when you invited the group into the sheds after the game to sing the song and to have a beer with the players. I don't know whether any other club does that, but the way that the players spoke, how they felt and how proud they were of the team and proud of you, it was a very special moment for everyone to be a part of that.
It's nice to hear that, Loz, because genuinely, if our old players, our ex-players, if they understand and know that we respect the jumper that they wore, that means a lot to us. You know, you've got to do it for yourself. You've got to do it for your mate. You've got to do it for one another first and foremost, because at the end of the day, you're either winning or losing as the group. And, you know, you do it for yourself, but the energy that we put into wanting to make sure our ex-players and our club understand we're doing it for the bigger picture is nice to hear. And look, that was a really good moment, and we're still a bit old school. I like the boys who want to have a couple of beers after a game, sit back, relax, and enjoy the win. You've got to learn how to win as much as understand how to take losses.
Yep.
Stick, Laurie, you're better number six or number four?
Personally, I've always said I'd much prefer to have Loz in the centres because he's such a powerful attacking player. From a defence point of view, it was wonderful having him just on the fringe. But Laurie's running game, I think, is not been understated, but has never got the raps that he probably deserved because he's such a powerful runner of the football. But then also, fortunately, we had Sully, and not that he get the ball off Sully. But,
well, Clarky, whatever it is, in the 89 grand final, Ricky and Mal, like our two leaders, they've said to Chris O'Sullivan, you're not to kick a field goal in extra time. What did Chris O'Sullivan do?
He kicked a field goal. Right there.
Oh, give me the ball, I'm going to kick a field goal. This is off the scrum, I'm going to kick a field goal. I said, no, don't. I said, mate, just take a couple into the post, then we'll go. He said, no, I'm kicking a field goal. I said, well, ask him. And I pointed to Mal. I don't think he asked him.
I remember one game we were playing, and Ricky and I, at times, we'd fight on the field about having the ball. And I remember Steve Wallace would be dummy half, and he'd pick it up, and he'd be looking, and always go with Ricky. And then one day I blew up. I said, why are you always doing... Great decision, Ricky. We scored a try off the back of it. I was about to give him a serve, and we'd scored.
When I finally started to get a bit more ball was when I got Boxhead to move in with me rent-free. But it's nice to be able to look back, Clarkie, on, I'm sure you do, on your career. It's nice to be able to look back for me and to have a bloke like Loz, who I played with as a centre and a 5'8". I was very fortunate being able to sit back now as an older person and say, gee, I'm going to be talking to my grandkids about players that I played with who are still going to be mentioned in the breath of the greats of our game. And that's where we're fortunate with the Raiders in those days. And I believe now today, we've got some players that, riding off the back of guys such as Josh Papali, Jack White and John Bateman, Elliot Whitehead. Those guys are greats in their positions.
Well, it's been great insight for our listeners this morning from you, Ricky. Great to hear all the stories from back in the day too, with Loz as well. And
well, I haven't told you anything about the private bin. What are you used to get up to?
you can't tell us, can you?
No,
of course not.
It's a shame it's not open.
A special day though for down there in Canberra for the funeral of Don Ferner, and we really appreciate your time and giving us that insight this morning, Ricky.
Thanks, Jared.